In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Consider, devout soul, that we are but vapor, here and then gone. From birth to death, the span of our time is but a breath. Our lives, a sigh in the great cosmic darkness. All our self-importance, gone. The largeness with which we see ourselves, gone. How vast, on the one hand, the land. How much more, on the other hand, the sea. How vast the lowest heaven where birds take flight. How much more the domain of the planets, our own lives measured in circuits around the sun. How vast the galaxy in which we live. 100 billion suns that we call stars. And how many galaxies beyond our own? 100 billion again. Countless galaxies, each with countless stars. Our entire galaxy, but a speck of dust. And our planet, a speck of dust within it. And we ourselves gathered here tonight. O God, what is man that you are mindful of him? How vast is that which is known? How much more that which is unknown? How vast is that which is visible? How much more that which is invisible? The observable universe, the second heaven, spans the breadth of 13.8 billion light years. There is a third and higher heaven still, unknown and invisible. The domain of angelic beings, so strange, immense, and diverse as to defy description. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? The holy angels sang together and shouted for joy as God spoke our world into being. What did that sound like? Countless angels joined in perfect song. The only other time that such a breathtaking, angelic event occurs is Christmas. Once again, countless angels gather around our world and sing for joy at what God has done. It begins with the preaching of a single angel who appears in the Bethlehem sky saying, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you a gospel of great joy to all people. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Christos Kyrios, the angel says, Christ who is the Lord. According to the angel, the one through whom the heavens and the earth were made is at that very moment swaddled and lying in a Bethlehem manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, a plethos stratia, a vast heavenly army that filled the skies, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. At the dawn of creation, the angelic host sang for joy. And now, at the birth of Christ, they sing once again. For an even greater thing has happened this Christmas night. God has not merely made a new creation. God Himself has entered creation, wrapped Himself in DNA with elbows and knees, fingers and toes, flesh and bone. Unspeakable mystery, unspeakable deed. God has become one of us forever. Neither He nor our world will ever be the same again. And at this, the morning stars sing and the sons of glory shout for joy. This is the Christmas that the angels see. And those heavenly beings, so awesome as to defy description, bow down to the manger in worship and sing in fullest joy. And what about you? Yes, you, infinitely small, wisp of vapor and speck of dust. You open your lips to sing this Christmas night, and you praise Holy God, but with an unholy tongue. I am no different, for we are a people of unclean lips. With our tongues we curse those whom God has made in His own image, and with our lips we lie and speak all manner of evil. You believe those who diagnose the body. Will you also believe one who diagnoses the soul? He says that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Most today have tongues eloquent in cynicism and snark, bitterness, and almost endless complaint. For others, it's boasting and cursing, exaggeration and arrogance. The mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. If the tongue is evil, so is the heart. And if the heart is evil, what joy can it have in Holy God? With our lips we draw near to God, and yet our hearts are far from Him. Hearts weighed down with too much food and too much wine, too much buying and too much doing, too much everything. Hearts distant with secrets and sins, sorrows and shame. And most dangerous of all, hearts ignorant of their own condition, believing themselves to be mostly wholesome, healthy, and good. And for this, furthest of all from God's grace. With our lips we draw near to God, and yet our hearts are far from Him, each one in its own way. That's how it is this Christmas night. What we need then is to repent and confess to God that we, His creatures, are people of unclean lips and unclean hearts. What we need is not the Christmas that we imagine, or the Christmas that we try so desperately to create. What we need is the Christmas that really was and is. the Christmas that caused the holy angels to sing for joy. No cell phones or electricity, no light bulbs, no heat. In the cold and dark stable, a young woman lies down on straw littered with dirt, dung, and God knows what else. No doctors or nurses or WebMD. No epidural, no pillows or clean sheets. Cries from the young mother. The time is at hand. Sweating, shaking, and agony. A gray and purple baby comes forth in the usual way, too quiet, then thank God, screaming into the Bethlehem night. No sterile knife for the cord, no warm blankets, no soap. Baby wrapped up and mom wrapped up in whatever, hopefully not too filthy, swaddling clothes and coats they had. Mom and child shivering. Joseph feeling helpless and praying. Blood and afterbirth all over the hay. Merry Christmas. If you're a sinner, and you are, what you need is the Christmas that really was and is. A God who chooses to come down into the coldness and darkness and dung of our human lives. You need the Word made flesh that He might understand the weakness of your flesh and have compassion on you. You need the Lord who is born in the midst of disease and death and blood-stained hay, a Savior who, though innocent Himself, is no stranger to ugliness and sin. Yes, He has come to become your sin for you. This little child has come for but one reason, to be baptized into your godlessness and filthiness, to have the muck of your sins, the sewage of your apathy poured out over Him, to be spat on, struck, and stripped naked, to be lashed until His flesh is a torn pulp of sinew and raw nerves, to be stabbed by nails onto a wooden cross so that all the world may mock Him, then and still. The birth of the child who comes for this, who comes for you, is the only Christmas that's worth anything. You are bought at a price, and that price is His agony and His blood, from manger to cross, His selfless love for you. But don't think that His lowly birth and shameful death are somehow below heaven. This is He, the scriptures say, whom the angels worship. This is the Christmas and the crucifixion that causes the morning stars to sing and the sons of God to shout for joy. The angels rejoice as if it were a new creation, because the Word has become flesh for the crucifixion of His flesh, for the shedding of His blood, that all things may be made new, including you. Yes, you, infinitely small, wisp of vapor and speck of dust. The Son of God becomes as you, so that you might become as Him. Infinitely small you are, yet infinitely loved by God. No more a mere wisp of vapor or speck of dust. You are his immortal, eternal daughter, his immortal, eternal son. For as Christ is, so have you become. Though your heart be distant and unclean, he draws near. Though your heart be weighed down with sin, and your faith be weak with despair, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. He has come for you to cleanse your lips and cleanse your heart, to create in you a clean heart and restore unto you the joy of his salvation. The Word has not become flesh so that we might have a few days off from work or be filled with warm and fuzzies or have some quality family time. The Word has become flesh to purchase you, that you might be his own and share in all that is his. And the cost to purchase you is nothing less than all that he has. On the cross, his blood draining from lifeless veins, that by the shedding of his innocent blood, he might make full atonement for all your sins. What must you do? He has done it all. You are forgiven by God. The Word has become flesh to baptize you into his own death and resurrection, that you might also die and rise and live with him forever. The Word has become flesh to drink to the dregs the cup of God's wrath, so that you might drink the cup of his everlasting salvation. This is why the Christ child came. This is the Christmas that caused the angels to sing. And now, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who do not. Our Lord himself says that. Indeed, he tells us there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Consider God's grace to you, devout soul, that his angels not only rejoice over your repentance, but he sends the angels also to care for you, to guard you and guide you to his throne. God, the Almighty Father, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, has sent his only begotten Son to make perfect atonement for all your sin. He has sent his Holy Spirit to proclaim salvation to you and keep you in the one true faith. He now dispatches the holy angels from heaven to protect you. And thus the whole assembly of that third and highest heaven is employed to help and serve us and to make their blessings ours. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That, O Lord, we cannot say. But when you came down into the manger, came near to save, the morning stars did indeed sing again, and all the sons of God shouted for joy once more. And for all eternity, we will too, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.